I could not come. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? And what heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope.
Come on.
And hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. And hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. Cause you have broken every chain. There's salvation. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. No claim on me. And then came the morning.
Come on.
That sealed the promise.
Worship the Lord.
word. Welcome to Haven Community Church, but it's God's church, and we're going to worship him, and that's what we're here to do. I don't know about you, but I need it.
Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty and so much stronger? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder? Who leaves us breathless in awe and wonder? The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. That you lay down your life. You've done for me. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who rules the nations with truth and justice? Shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. You would bear my cross. You would lay down your life. That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I thank for all that you've done for me. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. And worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You would lay down your life. Set free. Oh, Jesus, I thank for all that you've done for me.
You make righteous those who seek. You have written and redeemed my story. Let my eyes see your kingdom shine all around. Let my heart overflow with passion for your name. Let my life be a song revealing who you are. For you are salt and light. Oh, the love that set me free. You bring hope to those in need. You have written and redeemed my story. Let my eyes see your kingdom shine all around. Let my heart overflow with passion for your name. Let my life be a song revealing who you are. For you are salt and light. You are love's great height. You are deep and wide, a consuming fire. You are salt and light. Great high, you are deep and wide, a consuming fire. And my eyes see your kingdom shine all around. Let my heart overflow with passion for your name. Let my life be a song revealing who you are. For you are salt and light. For you are salt and light. You are salt and light. For you are salt and light.
Lord, as we come to you today here as your people, we recognize that that's what you've called us together. We are in the midst of finishing up our series on that we need each other. And Lord, it's amazing that it is a year today that we had our first COVID service where nobody was here. And I thank you that we're here and we're ready to worship you and glorify your name. And we thank you that, God, you are working in the midst. We may not always see it, but God, you are in control. And so we give you praise today that you have brought salt and light together to change this hurting world. For that, we give you praise. In Jesus' mighty name, let us just celebrate who you are. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I do have to make that intro longer next time. We're running around here like chickens with our head cut off. But anyway, it works. Excuse me. All right. So let's take a look here at some stuff. We want to lift up some of our prayer concerns today. And there's several that we have that we want to touch on. And I got some others that we're waiting here. First of all, we want to lift up Bennett Walters. He had broken his arm, and now he's in physical therapy. He needs it straightened, so it's they're working on that, getting it all straightened and everything. We want to lift up Lou Sho, who is was back in Christiana Hospital. Lou, it's a procedure for a cardiocath, one stent, because something's not working right, he said. Chris King asked for prayers with nosebleeds a lot, and she's kind of scared with that. Holly Kipp has asked for prayers for a friend's health. Prayer for Ruth, for Lauren Shea, for Joanne Edwards, for Ginny and Judy, and also Jackie for those other ones. And for others here, some of you may have gotten this prayer request. I ask for prayers for our family, as last Sunday night, our father ate a really good dinner and ended up having a massive stroke. And the massive stroke with Dad has taken his ability to communicate and understand speech. And so right now, Dad is in hospice, and we're waiting for God to take him home. And you may say, why are you here? Because being a Christian was something our dad told us. It's not just in the good times. It is you worship him in the valley. And for our dad, don't cry for him. Cry for us, because this world is, even though he's my dad, he's one of the most amazing men that I've ever known, and many people have said that. And this world is losing a saint, a man of God. And this is his reward. So don't cry for him. His legacy lives on in Jill, and especially in me. Just joking. We have demented senses of humor. This is how we deal with grief. I'm just letting you know. But ultimately, I give God praise for him. And we are praying for two things. Either God do a complete miracle where he has him up walking and leaping, and it's an incredible miracle. But if not, if we don't get that prayer, as he is in hospice, we give God praise for the greatest miracle, where we're all going to end up, those of us who love Jesus. And that's what he's dedicated his life to. And we're glad that he gets to go into heaven and finally, after 70 years, gets a new body. And because he's been dealing with that for a long, long time. And that he gets to see Jesus. That's the main thing. But we also know that Mom, as our friend Kenny Davis said, Mom has a lot to tell him, which that's going to take a week in heaven for Mom. But he deserves this reward. And it's been a tough 4 months. Not even the 16th will be 4 months since Mom passed. And so we've gotten a lot of whammies this year, but God is good. And he's good in the valley. So that's what we're going to hold on to. All right, so I haven't even preached yet. You better do that afterwards. All right. We're excited for him. We are. We're very excited for him. And we just miss him already. Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer, because that's where we need to be. God, we come to you today and we just thank you. I want to thank you for your answering prayers that a year ago, with the church flipped around, I sat in here with two or three other people, and we didn't know where we were headed in this thing called COVID. And my, what a year. And God, I thank you for just the beginnings of things seeming to turn in positive directions. And so for that, we give you praise. And so, Lord, we just want to lift up others who are in prayer right now. Bennett, Lord, we just ask that you go ahead and you work through physical therapy and just by your miraculous healing and straighten that arm out. For Lou, who has had a lot of different ups and downs with his health, we ask that, God, you minister healing to him. For Chris King with the nosebleeds, we ask that, number one, you give her peace about that, and, God, you bring healing there. For all the other prayer requests that we've lifted up here today, for Holly's friend's health, for Lauren Shea, for Ruth, for Joanne, for Ginny and Judy, and for Jackie, and all other prayers that are coming to our minds and hearts. And also just for Pastor Oog and those in Haiti, for Jay Briscoe, and who has been in the hospital, and all others who have been dealing with any kinds of situation. We thank you that Gary Stump is supposed to come home, and that, God, that the procedure seems to work. We thank you for your healing in his life. For all others that we have lifted up or continue to lift up on our prayer concerns or list, we give you praise. And God, I just want to personally thank you for the life of my father, that even though that breath, that spirit is hanging in there, I thank you more importantly for the man that he is, and the heart that he has for you. and for so many others. And so, God, what a better way to finish a series on We Need Each Other than as we near and talking about a man who has given his life to so many others. And so for that, God, we give you praise. Whatever you're going to do with this service, in spite of me, go ahead and use your words, and let's just have your heart displayed in many ways here today. For you are God, and we thank you for all that you do. In Christ's name, everybody says, amen. All right. All right, so we are in our last week of our series, and we're going to do some announcements in a bit. There is a QR code here. If you didn't get a bulletin, our bulletins don't tell what's happening and all that kind of stuff. That's what the announcements are for, and that's what our website's for. The bulletin is just kind of like when I teach classes, I like people to take notes, which is a dying art. Any teachers, right? It's a dying art, and so note-taking. And one of the things that they say is you remember like 90% of what you write down. And so we provide those blanks for you to fill in. Through COVID, we just decided to go ahead to use some of this. So if you want to use this, you can pull out your smartphone, pull up your camera, hold it there, and it'll take you to a digital copy, and you can have it there, and it's kind of cool for those of you who've done that before. It's there, and for you to do whatever you want. So that is our bulletin. We also have our Sunday school has been open for a while, and we are excited about that, and everything's going well there. You can, again, we are having still signing up, and I'll talk more about that in a second. So you can sign up starting tomorrow for Sunday school. Nursing home mission, today is the last day for that. If you forgot stuff, you can go ahead, and we do have slips out there as you came in. If you say, oh, I wanted to give to that, you can go ahead and still do so. But today is the last day that we're doing that. We do have Stephen Ministry. If you're going through a crisis, and you're going through several things like that, we do have Stephen ministers who have been trained. It's intensive training. Our leaders have had to go away for a week for intensive training. And then our Stephen ministers go through a whole year of process and are commissioned. And so they're there just to journey through whatever you're going through together. and we have those available to you free. And they're awesome. They also are running our Grief Share. Our Grief Share began, excuse me, it's a 13-week series that began in January 18th. It's been done face-to-face and Zoom. And so that is meeting still on Monday evenings right here or on Zoom at 6:30. And if, again, I said it, you don't have to start at the beginning to work your way through. You can just pop right on in and go for it and connect. As we well know, and I've said this, and what we found out again is grief does not care about when you schedule things. It comes off wherever it wants to. And so you can join in there with that group as well. Let's see here. Youth group. You can sign up for registration. Our youth have a great time. And then also Paris Foundation for the 21st. Gosh, that's next week, right? What the heck with this year, right? March 21st, next week. And the Paris Foundation is, we are doing 70 dinner bags for the Paris Foundation. And there's several different things like a sandwich bag, chips, bottle, water, fruit, and everything else. And so you guys will be collecting that. Are they still dropping it off near Hollingsworth Manor at the Family Center? Okay, still have 30 spots. And so if you'd like to contribute to that, that's a great, great ministry that you can go ahead and do there. one other thing I want to touch on before we go to a video clip with Miriam's Table is that one of the things is, one of the good announcements is, you saw that the governor has taken away the whole 50% and the percentage for restaurants and gyms and churches and all those things. However, as you know, we still have to keep the mandates of mask and social distancing, which makes it a little bit more challenging. But just like you go to a restaurant and you're comfortable with people, if that's what you make a call yourself, you can register together and sit with them if you feel comfortable with doing that. That is just like you would at a restaurant. And so that's up to you if you want to go ahead and do that. But if not, then how you register is how we put the chairs out. So I just wanted to let you guys know that, because a lot of people think, oh, everything's wide open and we don't want everything closed again. But again, that's your decision. We as a church are still continuing to honor Caesar and God in order for those things. That's not always a bad thing because Maryland is one of the better states with the numbers. And so I thank God for that. And so as we get closer to that, Man, you guys better sing hard the first day that we don't have masks, all right? You know, I mean, you better be ready to worship. But anyway, so that's just what I wanted to say about that. But we are glad that we are heading just exactly a year in positive directions. And we pray that that will keep that way as we continue further. Okay, so the other thing is Miriam's Table. Miriam's Table we have supported. And I was just saying a year ago, we handed them out and then, boom, COVID hit. But we still did well. Miriam's Table, again, it's an outreach to the Democratic Republic of the Congo. How that got started, Susan Kiefer went on a mission, just fell in love with the place, and actually fell in love with a little girl named Miriam, whose family died, and she ended up adopting her. And we've had Miriam and the Kiefers with us. And she didn't forget where they were. They fed tons of people and children over there, and they have an incredible ministry. And actually, the government has come to them and asked that they go ahead and provide a space for a pharmacy slash dispensary. And so that's where our funding is going to help them bring that about for the other area. Isn't it amazing when God puts something in someone's heart and just to see how it affects so many people? So this is a big project, and it is something that's really needed. We take for granted, and we get irritated that we go and we sit at the pharmacy and we wait a half an hour while we go buy, you know, our beans and corn or whatever else we're buying. But in that, there's people who don't have that ability. And so this is a great way to do that. So any support from this will go directly there. You can look at haven-helping-hands@havencc.org. You can talk to Wes and Emily. But we also have a couple of the bread banks, or as I learned them, love loaves that are here, that if you want them, they did bring some of those banks that you can put change, checks, I don't know, your yearly paycheck in there, whatever you want to do. If you want to give, give. And again, you don't have to. This has always been a church that meets the needs that God has called us to. But it's pretty amazing that we're affecting all over the world right here. So if you want to give to that, continue to do so. Here's a brief video that kind of shows you some of the stuff that they're doing there. That gives you a little bit there, and usually the Kiefers end up with us, and it's and sometimes, and then they just share some things. But it's a tremendous ministry, and I'm thankful for that. Okay, how you doing? You know, one of the things I was talking with someone this week about is they said, I can't wait to go on like a vacation. Like just to go somewhere, and you know, it doesn't have to be big, but just to go somewhere and enjoy. And so I was thinking about, you know, in this series, we've been talking about how we're kind of going on a journey, that we're going on this journey of life. And I started thinking about some of the trips that I've taken. One time I had a conference down in Florida, and it was right outside of Universal And Melissa went with me, and we had fun, you know, because you know how you do, you sneak out of the bag parts of the conference, and then you go and you enjoy, like, you know, Universal. All right, and so we had a lot of fun, and then there was another day that it wasn't so exciting, and we went to Disney, and you know, that kind of stuff. You know, that every, don't you guys have done it too. Don't lie, all right? But one of those things, it was fun. And then I was down, one time I went to a conference and I was down in Florida and I was all by myself. And it wasn't as fun. You know what I mean? Sometimes it's just not as fun. Several years ago, Melissa, I think it was 2019, Melissa, we always try to do something for our kids' graduations, like let them pick a trip. And Melissa and I went ahead, Emma Gale had graduated, and we gave her an opportunity. And Emma Gale, when Jacob did graduate, he decided to go to Mexico, and we found a really good deal, and the whole family went, and it was fun. this one, Emma Gale said, hey, I want to go see Antelope Canyon. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's really, I should have put a picture up there, but it's really ripply and it's really pretty. It's like a canyon where water has eroded, and it's really, really cool. It's if you have a background on your computer, it's probably there. It looks like waves, but it's sand. And so she wanted to go there. So I started looking, and you had to put in reservations. There was one time that there was reservations in the summer. And Melissa and I decided to take her. We flew out to Vegas and got in the car. We got out there about 1 o'clock at night by the time we, in the morning, by the time we got on the road, excuse me. And when we were on the road, it was dark. You know, if you leave Vegas, Vegas is bright. It's always bright. Everything's always going on. But when you leave it, it's really, really dark out of that. There's a lot of wilderness. So I'm just driving on roads. I don't know where I'm going. I'm like, oh, down here like this. And the moon was out. And I'm like, driving and get there. We were planning on driving pretty far. And I'm like, I'm tired. So we pulled in to some kind of place in Utah, I think it was. Wasn't that where we were? Some place we pulled into and stayed there. It was a Hampton Inn. There was a guy who was from Maryland, and he's like, oh, I'll give you the discount. And he gave me a discount. And I was like, thank you, Jesus. You know. And so he's like, you want something to eat? I'm putting dinner away. And I'm like, yeah, I'm a little bit hungry. He's like, oh, I got breakfast too. So it was a perfect time we got there. Really cheap to spend the night. We woke up, and we looked, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. And you see everything you did not see on the journey. And then you're driving some more, and you realize, oh, my gosh, I didn't realize if I made a wrong turn that I would have died. Because there's, you know, you just don't know that. Anybody been to Utah? And you know what I'm talking about, okay? You're like, oh my gosh. So you get there, we went ahead and we went to a guy in the airport said, oh, you got to go to Zion National National Forest, National Park. So we went there and we did that little water walk thing. And it was really, really cool. And then we went and went to Page and we ended up going to Antelope Canyon in the morning. And then we went to that big thing, that Horseshoe Canyon, which kind of freaked Melissa out because there were people standing there, like, and people die there a lot. And, you know, I'm like, you go ahead and it's fine. And then we got in the car and we decided to ride back. And somebody said, we also went, it was 103 degrees. So we decided to rent a boat. It was fun. And we watched some lady who was really ignorant when she was signing up wreck into somebody else's boat. And she lost her deposit and was wondering why. It was really fun to watch them, you know, watch her lose money in her temper, but it was kind of fun. And then we ate really well. We ate in this, like, in right at the border, this like place into Utah. We look and thank God for those food apps, and we're looking, and we ate at this like we kind of wanted some, like, they want some Mexican food. And so we went and we found this one little place, and it was like amazing, and the thing was like this big, and you know, you better like say, hey, we got a long ride, you better go before we leave, that kind of thing. So we had that fun, and then we trucked a little bit more, and we decided we're going to Grand Canyon. Guy said, hey, stop by, it's the top of the Grand Canyon, you get great pictures, you'll get there right about sundown. We did, had great pictures while posing, having an awesome time. And then we decided to drive some more. We pull in, and when I'd never been to Grand Canyon, it's dark, it's about 10, 11 o'clock at night. We're driving, and it says in the Grand Canyon National Park or Forest or whatever the heck it is. So we're going a little bit, and it goes from 30 to 10, and I'm like, what the heck's going on here? And there's a full moon, and Melissa looks over and is like, oh, keep your eyes on the road, keep your eyes on the road, because like there's trees, and it's like, ah, you know, it's worse than Utah. And I'm like, shh, my hands are sweaty, I'm like this, and everybody goes, oh my God. And I'm like, I don't know whether I'm on a bridge and I'm just gonna go off either side. I just see trees, and I'm like, you know, 9-3, you know, that kind of thing. All the way through, we finally get to our hotel, get up, look at the big hole, and then go ahead, made the south trip back, went to Vegas, great way to finish that hiking vacation and all that stuff, going to Vegas and enjoying everything Vegas has. I'm not going to tell you because it stays there, right? Isn't that what they say? But no, we had a good time. We got to see Carrot Top. He's hilarious. And all this kind of stuff. And we got to see the Titanic, all these kind of things. And then we got on a plane on Saturday night, came, landed, and I came and preached. All right. That next morning. And why did I give you all that? You have no clue. I don't either. No, what I was saying is that trip was fun, not because of the destinations, but because of who I was with. And this is what we forget in life. We had a lot of laughter. We had a lot of other stuff. And Miguel talks in her sleep and says bad words. And I'm like, what? You know, so it was great. It was, am I lying? No. She woke up in the middle. And I'm like, I jumped up. I said, would you shut up? So we had all kinds of fun like that stuff. And it was just fun. And every time I've been someplace, I recognize, and I do like my alone time, but every time I've had the most fun, it has been with other people. It just makes the trip better. And this is how it is in life. We are all on a journey in life. And it's important, we are so caught up in getting to destinations in our lives. Sometimes I feel like I'm running toward nothing. Like I don't know what I'm speeding through life to get to, but there's some destination that I don't know that I'm getting to, and honestly, if I get there, I'm gonna be upset that I didn't enjoy the ride. And so, last week, you know, desire and intention is not the only thing that helps in the journey. We can't do this alone. And last week we talked about regrets. And if you missed it, go ahead, havencc.org. Go ahead and check it out. You can go to the sermons, the messages, and check that out there. But we talked about those things that keep us from making a successful journey is those regrets that we have. When we make a mistake, we mess up. That mess up creates a guilt. That guilt goes ahead and brings regret, and we never get further on the journey because of that. And last week was called scrambled eggs, remember? And we talked about once you scramble eggs, you can't unscramble them, but God can. And God can do something fantastic with that. Week one, we talked about how we do need each other. And we talked about Jesus being a servant and those other kind of things that were there. Today, we are going to talk about what does the journey look like? The steps that we need that turn our intentions and our commitments and our desires into progress and a successful journey. Our scripture lesson from last week, and again this week, is here from Romans chapter 8. And it says, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. I want you to read that along with me. Here we go. Ready? And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. So what we are saying is we are on this journey, and there are times on the journey that something breaks down. That we need something. This week, after coming back from the hospital, I pulled off on 95, and you know, now we have those little like indicators for tires, and I noticed that my back tire is going 40, 30, 20, all the way down. I'm like, I get there. So I knew that I had to leave early in the morning, and leaving early in the morning, I couldn't leave on that tire. And so what did I have to do? I had to change it. And many times we are broken down on the side of the road or in our driveway or whatever else in our own lives because we aren't willing to change the tires that have us stuck. And that's what we need to do. And that's what today's going to be about. That we forget that it says in all things, in every single thing, God works for the good of those who are called by him. So to have this journey, we need to have a destination. But we need to know a place where we're headed. So the question I have for you is, where are you headed? Where's your destination? What do you want to get to? It reminded me of a pastor who had a falling out with his church. It had gotten so bad that he had decided to leave, and he took a job as a prison chaplain. And so his last sermon, he titled, he gave it from John chapter 14, verse 1, and it was titled, I Go Prepare a Place for You. And that's what he was saying to his parishioners. So where are you headed is it helps with how we get there. So what is really your destination? Last week, I gave you a list of if-only statements. Remember those? If-only. Those regrets. If only I had. If only I had. Today, I'm going to give you some what-if statements. What-if statements. So let's look at this on this destination and how to get to these destinations. What if God healed my relationships? What if God did that?
That's a destination. Healed relationships. That is a destination. And so broken relationships will always keep you on the side of the road. That will always flatten your tires in your journey. But what if God put some of these relationships back together? See, God can do what Humpty Dumpty and all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't do. God can put us back together. God can put broken relationships back together. You say, hey, Jack, how do you know that? Because as I always read the scripture, God loves to take dead things and bring them to life. Whether he talked about in Ezekiel where the valley of the dry bones and the one bone connected to the other bone, right, that one. The bones started to rattle, and when they started to rattle, and he said, how can these dead things come to life again? And God said, I can breathe life into them. The whole heart of the Christian faith is that Jesus died, and God raised him up. Lazarus raised. God loves to take dead things and make them alive. The whole reason why he came is because sin, don't get upset, just missing the mark of what God intended, and all of us are there. Sin caused separation from God. And sin, the wages of sin, what we get for sin, is death, meaning eternal death. But Jesus came and paid that price. Because why? Because God likes to take things that are dead and bring them alive. So what if God took that dead relationship that you've had, that one that's kept you broken, that kept you on the side of the road in several areas of your life, and he brought and breathed life into it again? God loves to do that. What if God showed us our purpose together? What if God truly showed us our purpose together, told us what we are really, really called to do? Remember in Romans, Melinda, can you go back to that Romans verse real quick from Romans 8:28 that we started with? It says, we got the first part. We like the part of, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his what? Purpose. Purpose. There is a purpose that God has called us to. Those who love the Lord have a purpose that he has called you to. Did you see that? We like the first part about God working all things, but God has created a purpose for you and a purpose for us together in the midst of that. In the Greek, this term purpose is translated two different ways. Purpose, like the reason why. And the second thing is showbread. And you're like, well, what the heck is that? In the Old Testament, when the tabernacle was set up in the temple, there was a table that was put in there of showbread, or shewbread, what it was. It represented the 12 tribes and of Israel, God's people at the time. And the bread was always present. And that's one of the things that's really cool when we look at purpose, is that God not only calls you, your calling, your purpose is always present. God always has a purpose, something present for you, but he gives you enough to make sure you are nourished for that purpose. So God is going to give you what you need in order to fulfill that purpose for your journey. So the next one, what if God used us to make a difference? What if God used us to make a difference? That's our next one. Right, Melinda? There we go. Awesome, thank you. God used us to make a difference. And this is hard in today's Christianity. Because in my life, which in a month will be 50, I have seen Christianity change and shift to the purpose that what if God used, there's that term that we talked about week one, us, to make a difference, is because Christianity has been so pushed about individual commitments, me and Jesus, coming to the Lord, my salvation. Those are important, but God never wanted it to just be you and him. Remember that old song, On the Jericho Road? There's room for just two, not many more, just Jesus and you. That's kind of demented. Jesus wants us to be together. It's a nice little song, but theologically it's missing. Because it needs to be, yes, me and Jesus get this thing together, because it's not about my mom, my dad, my sister, my brothers, my uncles, whatever, and their commitment. I need to make a commitment to Christ and believe he is who he says he is, and make that make him my Savior and Lord. And part of making him his Lord is that I'm going to partner with others to make a difference. I am so happy that when, you know, God may have called me to start this church in 2007. Yeah, 6, 7, somewhere in there. But the difference is made by what we do. The difference you know, Miriam's table. I guarantee you, Susie would stand here. She had a calling from God. That is the purpose that God gave to her. But it was everybody else coming together that has made a difference and changed lives forever. Haiti, we came together. We connected to people there. That's why there are churches. That's why they are being fed. That's why there's lots of ministry going on there. All these things. When we can even go back to when there was no halfway houses for people coming out of addiction and treatments and things. And somebody mentioned it. And somebody said, hey, I got a place. And we together put the first one here, right down by the middle school. And that spawned other things. It's not about us putting a Haven CC logo on it. It's about the people of God coming together to do the ministry of God. What if God used us to make a difference? And God has done that time and time and time again. So the question is, what is your destination on this journey with others? Lamentations chapter 5, verse 12. And I think it's very fitting that this is a verse today, and I didn't even intend it. Bring us back to you, Lord. Just mull that around. Bring us back to you, Lord. For we're ready to come back and give us a fresh start. Now, there's a couple different things that we see in that verse. I love the bringing back to you. And it's part of it is you know, even though we have the blessing of having online ministries, and I know many people were able to connect. I know Mom and Dad did for their time. Dad did up until till last week. And there's many other people that do that, and I am thrilled by that. Linda, hi Linda Seward, Linda and Ron. Linda gives me an email every week. She connects and has, as health has been something. And continue to keep Linda and Ron on your prayer list. And yet, in the midst of that, I miss this. I miss, like when we were here, Jim, Melinda, Keith, and Danny at times, you know, here. I remember the first week, a year ago, I'm looking at a camera going, hi, how you doing? And I felt so weird. And then I just started talking to chairs, and they were empty, and I was like, and I was doing it, and people say, did you? Are there people there? No, there's chairs. But I needed to know that there were people. You know, I needed to know that we're not alone in this. And so when we, bringing us back to at least this point is good. But what about our world? It seems so far from God. It seems like some of the worst things that we can say is that we love Jesus in a world. And that's worse than several other things. And I gotta say, I'm kind of tired of people wanting me to apologize for loving Christ. And so bring us back, God. And here's our time. Give us a fresh start. It's not just a start, but it's fresh, because everything is new in Jesus. Every time we have it, give us this place for something fresh. And what that tells us is, on our journey, if we're coming back to God, that and he's giving us a new start, the old tires are not going to get us to where he needs us on this new part of the journey. So we have to do something different. We have to have another way to get there. And so God's got, you know, remember the old scripture and the old hymn that says, great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father, there is no shadow from turning with thee. All that is needed, my hands have provided. And it goes, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. Because the mercy from yesterday doesn't get me through today, and so I need something new. And so if God, you know, it reminds me of the Israelites in the desert. They went out, the manna would fall, God provided bread from heaven, wonder bread laying on the ground from heaven. And then they said, hey, that's miserable. He says, okay, he had quail. You had meat and bread free. Anybody would like that every morning? All you have to do is get your rear end out of bed and go pick it up. But they were so lazy that they decided, let's gather some more. And the ones that they gathered extra, except for on the Sabbath, the ones they gathered extra rotted. And that's the same thing with the mercies. The stuff that got me through yesterday ain't going to get me through today. That means I need to spend time and have a new mercy that gets me further on the journey here. Try to fill your brand new car up with a full tank of gas and see if that gets you all the way to 100,000 miles. It ain't going to happen. You have to stop and refill the tank and get a new fill. And that's what we need. from Christ to get this journey on the way. You see, the gospel is all about a fresh start. So the question is, how do we do that? That's where we are here today. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We used this verse again last week. Let's look at it. Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation. Repentance, turn and go the other way. In other words, you've been heading one way. It's not working. You come in contact with Jesus. You say, I'm sorry. He said, that's all I've been waiting for. And then you go a different direction, the direction that he leads. And it leaves no what? No regret. I'm going to tell you, if you are guilted and if you have regret, that is not from God. Guilt and regret are great tools of the pit to get you off of following the direction of God. And so, but what repentance says, oh, wow, I'm convicted of this, but Jesus says, pay for it, don't remind me of it, and keep on going. So it leaves no regret. But worldly sorrow brings death. Why? Because we just mull around and around. And so what we're looking at here is repentance leads us to this new path that God has for us. So how do we have relationships without regret? And so I'm going to give you a list of these things right here, and we're going to talk about that, and then we're going to continue on, all right? All right, first thing, set a godly priority. Set a God-first priority. God-first priority. What do I mean? You ever see, like, at the Olympics or, like, a wrestling tournament or something, they have those stages that are tiered, and first place steps up to the top, and second place a little bit down here, and third place is a little bit shorter, and fourth place is on the ground. You know what I mean? You guys have all seen those. If we look at our lives like that, there are several places where we have things on the stands, and a lot of times on first place it's not God. I say many of us exist in this area. Like it could be your job, it could be someone, it could be money, it could be fame, it could be name lots of different things, but you have that and first place goes to your job, all right? And first place goes to your talents and things. And the thing is, if it's anything but God, that first place will fail you. And so what we're required to do is to reorder the stuff, and those things aren't bad. So if you love your job and you're elected, that's great. Just move it to the second place. Put God on first. And the reason why we do that is because God has to be first place in our lives. Because have you ever been in a car with a lot of people or friends and you say, hey, where you want to go to dinner? And if you have five people in the car, how many opinions do you get? Five. And I don't know about you, like when we had all of our family in a car and we're going someplace and they say, I want to get, hey, can we, and when they were little, it was like, okay. And you know whose voice meant the most to where we're going? Melissa or mine? You know, if Melissa said, yeah, she's usually like, I don't care where you want to go. I'm like, I'd like to know where you are. And then I say, Pizza Boy, I don't want to go to Pizza Boy. Okay, we do this kind of stuff all the time. But if she says, hey, I really want to go there. If it's your birthday in our family, you get to pick where you want to go. I don't care where anybody else wants to go. I don't want to go there. Don't care. It's your birthday. You pick. Because that is first place in the car. If we get in the car with all these other things first place in our life, we're going to end up in wrong destinations. We got to have God say, okay, Lord, where are we going? And he's the only one who's going to lead us to that proper place. And so that's what we need. So we need to ask God, what are our priorities? What are our priorities? In Matthew chapter 22, verse 36, he's asked this question. I've used this a lot of verses. We should have this memorized. Teacher, guy comes up to Jesus, says, hey, I'm going to find out what's going on. He says, teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. You see, the guy was looking for one of the 12. Jesus kind of summed up the 12, the early part of the 12, and said, hey, all that stuff about you shall know other gods before me and no other graven image. Love the Lord your God with everything that you have. In other words, he's saying, put God first. God's first in this. What's the greatest commandment? Put God first in your relationships and then reorder everything else. You see, it's kind of like when you're in a movie theater. You ever remember those when we used to have movie theaters? But when you go to the movie theater and it'd be really dark and you couldn't see where to go, but they had them little lights lined the way. That's what happens when Jesus is first in our life and gets us going. We may not be able to see where the door is, but the path is guided for us. The interesting thing is, Jesus continues and says this. He finishes off this verse and says, and the second, you know, he was asked for one great commandment, and he said, the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. So we have God first, and then we prioritize with our neighbors. And so I've always shared that. How do you know you love God? I can say, I love God, I love God, I love God, I love God. You tell by how you love others. That's the visual entity. How you relate and love others is how much it shows you love God. Because Jesus loved the world so much that he gave his life. And so what are you willing to do to display your love for God that you, in loving others? And so what we have here in Philippians chapter 2, is this, let's look at this. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Wow, that is our world, right? Do nothing out of selfishness, is what it's saying, for yourself, and or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of others. In some versions it says, consider others better than you in this way. So what we have here is this. We have God first, and then the second place is everybody else. Absolutely everybody else. That God first priority allows us to be servants. Remember week one of the series, we talked about Jesus walking in, and it was customary for somebody to wash their feet. It was like, hey, welcome to my house. So he took off. So nobody was doing it. Jesus took off his outer garment and started washing their feet. And Peter's like, no. But Jesus said, no, this is what you need to do. You need to do this. You need to love each other like that. Anybody been to a wedding? Right? Who's the most important person at the wedding? Who is it? Bride. Okay. The bride is the most important person in the wedding. Right? That's the bride. The groom, you're along for the ride. The bride, she's the one. Like, we don't have a, here comes the groom. No, nobody cares. All right? They just walk him out, like, yeah, have the guy behind him make sure he gets there. You know, that's how it works. But the bride is the most important person in the wedding. And when you walk in as a guest, you don't expect to have music played and little girls throwing flowers in front of you to walk down, do you? We just don't expect that. We're not shocked. We're like, where are my flowers? Where's my song? Here comes the dude. You know, nobody has that. We don't expect that at all in our lives. But when God is first priority, we have God and then others, and that's how it works. It's not that they are more important than you or more valuable than you. All are equal in God's eyes, but because God loves all his kids the same way. But this is the greatest Christ-like action that you can do, is put others first in that manner. You ever see like little kids' plays? Or like when they're doing like little dance numbers, and like and then always like some kid like pushing somebody else, like, look at me, yeah, you know. I mean, in life, we can't keep doing that. The world's full of people just trying to push people aside, to step on their heads just to get someplace else, to get to whatever destination that's going to fail them in the end. But we need to help lift others up. I remember doing a mud run, and there ended up being a wall. Like these walls, and some of them were higher. And when you would get there, one of the coolest things I saw is people who didn't even know each other going like this. Here, I'll help you up. Here, I'll help you up. Here, I'll help you up. And this is a mud run that people don't know each other. They're getting mud on their hands, and they're doing all this kind of stuff. And they're doing it because they were trying to help others. And that's what we need to do as well. Okay, everybody good? Number two, invest in relationships. These are the ones you're traveling the journey with. You need to invest in those relationships. Like, One of those things that Abigail every once in a while will pull up a video of something I said or someplace we were when we were on that trip and that journey. And we had invested in each other. We spent time with each other. And it was really, really good. The investment, the term invest, we know it from money, but it originally came from a French word, invest, and it means to clothe or robe an official. That an investiture, you would go ahead and you drape them, you clothe them with something. And I went to this, I think this is one of the best illustrations of people investing in each other from 1 Samuel, verse 18 through 3 in the New Living Translation. Jonathan's dad was Saul, the king who loved David at first, but then hated him because David, you know, had God's anointing and was rising in power. And it says, and Jonathan made a solemn pact or a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. He loved him as himself. Actually, the literal translation is the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David. Jonathan had the most to lose from David's rise to power because Jonathan was next in line to be the king. But because he saw God's hand and anointing on David, and he saw David's heart for God, Jonathan's heart for God said, doesn't matter to me. And he was willing to give up his authority and his kingship for the love of David and loving him as himself. If the verse 4 is on here as well, and look at this, I thought this was interesting. Jonathan took off the robe he was wearing, which would have been one of a prince, okay, a king's son, and gave it to David along with his tunic and even his sword, his bow and his belt. What did Jonathan do? He invested in David. Isn't that cool? He said, hey, I'm not only going to love and care about you, but I'm going to show you by putting what is mine and giving it to you. He thought of himself, the David, greater than him. So what do we do if we invest in relationships? There's a couple things here. We need to be intentional. Some of us are wired this way. Some of you are wired this way. You think about people. You just are intentional about all kinds of things. You send notes. You send cards. You go ahead. You give calls. You buy flowers, all that kind of stuff. And when you show up, people are like, oh, my gosh, they just, they're just intentional. You guys are like little relationship bombs. You're like popping, oh, and people are like, yay, all right? You make a difference. Others of you are not wired that way, and you were like, intentional what, you know? You guys were just not wired that way, and you have to think about it. So how do you do that? You think creatively. Be creative in the way you're intentional about that and showing your love through flowers, phone calls, texts, letters, all those kind of things. Next thing is you got to put time into it. That's probably the worst thing. Most people are really upset about their time. You ask people, how you doing? Oh, I'm just tired. I'm exhausted. I'm this. I'm tired. I'm this. All right. We need to put time into people if we are going to invest in relationships. And in order to put time in it, it means you have to give time. Because last time I checked, we lost an hour last night. Okay, you ain't getting that sucker back until the fall. And you'll be like, yeah, I get an extra hour of sleep. And then you'll be like, All right. Last time I checked, God is not adding any more time to the day. So in order to do that, I need to carve out time. Anybody know anyone who, in your friends or family, that when they take a story, it's going to take a while? Like, you'll be like, hey, let me tell you something. You're like, In the back of your mind, you're like, okay. And you're like, oh my gosh, 15 minutes later. They do that. You have to take time and invest in that. Invest in people. You have to carve out time. And this isn't guilt or pressure. It's just linger longer with the kind of conversation. We're always like, how are you? Good. Good. Okay, talk to you later. Just linger. Linger with people. Third thing, stick with it. Stick with it. Don't give up on people. And you may say, they don't deserve my time. Guess what? You're probably right. It's not about what people deserve, because guess what? Not anybody here in this room, not anybody in the sound of my voice, not anybody who has been born in the face of this earth deserves anything that God has given us. It's not about deserving. It's about putting God first and people next, because God has a destination for us that we can't get to without doing this. And at the end of life, do we want to get to that point at the end of life and say, whew, I made it. Or you want to do it with people. Do you want to look back? Everybody I've seen, any kind of person I have ever seen in my life, any funerals that I've done for 25 years, it is the impact of the people around them that people began to talk about. It's the impact that person had on individuals' lives that make the journey and the destination worth it. If you just get through, if you're just born to go ahead and be able to feed and clothe yourself, to be able to go to school, to be able to graduate, to be able to go and get a job so that you can retire, so that you can die, that's pretty depressing. And when you think about it, your grandparents, your parents, your siblings, your children, and your grandchildren are the only ones who are ever going to really know you in your lifetime. And after that, you are a name with a dash and two dates with somebody checking on Ancestry.com. I got somebody in my family named Barbella. Don't know who she is, but I'm glad she was here. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here. I got one guy who became a pirate for a day. Didn't work out for him. He got captured by the pirates, said, I'll be a pirate. And the Navy came and arrested him, and he was tried, and that was the end of his piracy. Thank God he was married and whatever, or else the pirate, and I wouldn't have been here talking to you about my pirate friend. You know, I know nothing about him except for he's a pirate and he made a bad choice. And in Seinfeld, I don't want to be a pirate, okay? But what I'm saying is, our life is this. It's a wisp of air. So do you want to get to the end of that journey and say, I did it all by myself? Do you want to do the Frank Sinatra, I did it my way, and you're alone in it? Or do you want to do it God's way? You see, we should never get to the end of our life and say, that's it, I made it. It's about the journey with others. And we've been, Jill and I have been having phone calls, and we had a great opportunity the other night to call people who are still alive, that are close, that have been close to Dad for years, and give them an opportunity to either FaceTime or say something to Dad. And people saying, thank you so much. He means so much to me. He's such an incredible person. And how do these people know? Because our Father invested in thousands of lives over his ministry and over his entire life. And so his service is one of joy and celebration, because there is a great cloud of witnesses waiting to tell him thank you. See, we put God first and others. And what's the next thing we need to do? We need to start now. Start now. Do it now. Don't wait. No matter what the relationship dynamic is, don't wait for it. Because what happens right now, the enemy Satan right now is going to let you buy into it a little bit. Okay, this sounds good. I need to go ahead. I need to do this. And then he's going to say, but that relationship is, and then you'll end up doing nothing. You say, that's a hopeless relationship. I haven't talked to that person in years. You got to do something with this, or you're still going to be stuck on the side of the road with flat tires. Isaiah 43, let's look at it here. What does Isaiah 43 say? It's up here, right? Right, Melinda? There you go, Melinda. Is Lisa back there today? Okay. But forget all that. Sorry. Love you, Lisa. All right. But forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I am going to do. For I am about to do something what? New. See, I have already begun. Do you see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness, and I will create a river in the dry wasteland. If you are waiting to see it, the answer to it, do you see it, is no, not always. Not always do you see what God is doing. But God is creating a way in your wasteland. This last year, for me, has been a wasteland in many ways. Personally, loss of our mother 4 months ago, our father now. Even things like selling a family home that was our grandmother's, that when we lived in Parsonage Life, that was the home. It's a loss. I think Jill said when we left and cleaned the place out, well, close another chapter on life. Losses in so many areas. Personally, looking at things in my own life about about, you know, the way I am and coming to grips with some of those things and how I process things. And that's been both encouraging, but it's also been like, whoa, wait a second here, for the first time in life. And dealing with other milestones and other kinds of things and challenges that I never thought we'd have to deal with as a family or anything else. Professionally, we know what to do with church. You open the doors, you do this, and people come, and then COVID, no, and this. Social distancing, you don't want all this kind of stuff, leaving you uncertain in a world. And it has been a wasteland. And I don't see it all the time. I don't see the pathway through the wilderness. And when God's saying, see, I'm doing something new, Jack. Do you not see it? I'm like, no. He's like, look. And I'm like, I'm looking. No. What I'm seeing is loss, and what I'm seeing is pain, and what I'm seeing is struggle, and I'm seeing that time and time again, and I'm seeing stupidity, and I'm seeing, remember the election? So I'm seeing that, and all over the place, and like he says, don't you see? And I said, no. And he says, okay, Jack, well, I will make a pathway through the wilderness, and I'm creating rivers in your wasteland. He's not saying, Jack, when you see it, then I'll do it. He said, I'm already doing it. I'm already doing it. I'm already doing it time and time again. That's why in 1 John 3:18, it says this, let us stop just saying we love each other. And let's really show it by our actions. Let's really, really show it by our actions. Don't wait for the feelings. Become Nike. Just do it. And how do we do that? If we're going to start now, you have to do these things. When you think something good, say it. Say it. Fit. And you say, well, that's no big deal. I never think anything good. All right. Start thinking something good. Even if it's somebody who says, start polite comments. Thank you. Don't get it. You know what? I'm always disturbed by people when there's, particularly like those who are waiters or waitresses who are trying. I mean, there's some people who, waiters or waitresses, probably should never do that. We get it. And that's in every job. But there's some people who are trying and watching people get aggravated. And I'm like, have you not learned anything from this year? Just tell them, hey, keep on going. Keep on doing well. Keep doing that. Don't try to force it and be like, thank you, okay, sorry, that kind of thing. Be genuine about it and go from there. The next thing is, when you think something special, do it. When you think something special, we naturally do this when it's negative. We naturally do it when it's negative. Like I remember, I was thinking about this. We had some friends and we went on vacation with when they were younger, and Jacob was little, and their son was little, and he would always, like, kind of pick on Jacob and stuff. And I remember one day, like, I'm sitting there, and I'm like, and Jacob just started tuning him up. And I'm like, yeah, all right, that's a good hit. Yeah, but I got to be a dad, and I got to be like, oh, no, we shouldn't do that. You know, what would Jesus do? And, you know, that kind of stuff. You know, you start thinking that kind of stuff, but you're really like, that was a good shot. You know, that's the kind of things you say. We do that naturally. When people do something negative to us, we're ready to give it to them. Why don't we do that with something positive? When we think something special, do it. Okay. And here's the big one: when you want something different, be it. Don't wait for the environment to change around you. You change the environment. Be the difference. If you're always negative, be positive. If you're always critical, be an encourager. If you're always lazy, get your rear end up and start working. Whatever it is, be it. Last one here, and this is probably the toughest one. It's the toughest one. Do not keep score of wrongs. Not one record. Not one record. And you know, because a lot of times we're like this. We say, Mark did this. Let's say Mary, say Bill, and we keep names of people, what they did. Let's go, let's say Jack, and let's say, Martha, and we'll say Sam. We got all these names, right? We got names, and we start writing this list, and we go ahead and say, Let's say, I'll put Jill down. She terrorized me. Oh, we're going to put this one down. Lisa. Today, Melinda. Okay. And we keep these records, constant records, constant records. And we write them down like that, right? But you see, let me see this here. And we keep them here. And so, but then there's this other thing kind of happens. When we put Jesus first, when we put Jesus first here and recognize it's because of his blood and that he's first, then what begins to happen is we start to keep no records of wrongs. And the only thing that's left is Jesus. Right? Because all that other stuff falls by the wayside. Because Jesus could write down Jack, and Jesus could write down Bill and Danny and Lisa and every single person. But it's his blood and him first, because he put me first and loved me enough to forgive my sin, to forgive where I wronged him. And he said, Jack, I'm not keeping records. I love you and I saved you. A life with Jesus in focus is so much better than one of keeping records of what people have done to us. And that's how he wants us to live. That's how he wants us to continue in our lives and in our existence. Look at what it says here in 1 Corinthians 13. Look at it. It says, love doesn't force itself on others. It isn't always what? Me first. It doesn't fly off the handle. It doesn't do what? Keep score of the sins of others. That is love. That is the love of Jesus Christ. Proverbs 10:12 says, hatred stirs up dissension, but love covers over all wrongs. And Psalm 130, verse 3 says, Lord, if you kept a record of our sins, who, O Lord, could ever survive? On this journey, don't do it alone. The journey with others is as important, if not more important, than the destination. It's your choice. You have a choice. You can do it alone and get there alone and die alone, and just people will say, you'll be a blurb. You can do it with the wrong people and get there broken on the side of the road and get to the wrong places. Or you can do it with Jesus and his family and others and be in the right place where God wants you. Obviously, in thinking about our father, Dad's journey was one of being broken down. At the age of 10, his body was broken after an accident that his father actually caused. And his father's car actually ran over him. And my dad was pronounced dead on arrival at the hospital. My grandmother said, after they told her that, said, go back in, because my God is not going to let my son die. And they found a faint heartbeat, and that heartbeat is still going to this moment, because God is still answering that prayer, although we've changed the prayer. Let him go, Lord. And he spent 18 months in a body cast in a hospital, in St. Luke's Hospital. And in that point, in his childlike faith, when they said he was going to lose his leg, and he wasn't going to walk. First they said he wasn't going to die. First they said he wasn't going to walk. He said, God, if you let me walk again, I will serve you. And that he had a fused hip, and many of you have seen him. And this week we're going to put up some sermons that he did here, let you get a chance to look at those. And we'll probably even put up his testimony, which is audio, just to honor his life. But without him, this church does not exist. The last 10 years of his life, in and out of hospitals, losing that mobility that was his calling for so many years, took a lot from him. The loss of his wife, the loss of his, as of last Sunday night, taking the last thing, that thing that led so many, the ability to speak, communicate, and understand. Taking from the last moment. The journey full of broken down all along the way. But the other day, as Jill sat in the hospital, the doctor said, tell me the story of how you got Jack and Jill. Tell us the story of your father. And Jill got to share the testimony of her father. I got to play when Dad in 1974 was on the 700 Club and him sharing his testimony and ministry, his charismatic ministry against the powers of Satan. I got to play that and a girl sat there and listened to it all. You see, Satan constantly wanted to break that man from day one. But what Satan intended for bad, God is using still for his glory. That even in the hospital with no voice, no ability to move on hospice, Dad is still sharing the goodness of God. He's still sharing the greatness of God to that day. So Jill and I could be nowhere else but here today. Because we're journeying together with each of you. And as he's nearing the end, and as difficult as it is, I can tell you one thing. Dad never did it his way. He did it God's way. And there are thousands upon thousands of people whose lives have been touched. Haiti is here because of the faith that lived first in my father, that lived in his mother, that lived in my great-grandmother, who when Dad was a little boy said, you're going to be a preacher. And it still continues to this day. Where's your destination? Dad's reaching the end of his. He's about ready to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. And I know that I get to see him again. I know that heaven's going to have some great reunions up there. Thank you, Becky. But mostly, I know that in his life, God is glorified in it. At the end of your life, at the end of the story, what will people say about you? What will the Lord say when you walk in if you made that commitment to Jesus as your Lord and Savior? What will he say to you? We say, hey, I put those people in your path and you were too busy. You didn't take time. I gave you those people around you at work and you were too busy that you couldn't invest time in them. Or do you want to get to heaven one day and somebody say, thank you. Thank you for the journey. Thank you for journeying with me and giving me your life, for investing in me, for all those things. I think about that old song, thank you for giving to the Lord. I'm a life that was changed. We spend so much time in the church about everything else rather than what Jesus told us to do. Go and make disciples of all nations. What that means is share with people the love of God. All the other stuff is really awesome, but it fails in comparison to one person who reaches that, hey, I am broken down on the journey of life. I'm tired of running on flat tires. And I just don't know where to go. Maybe you are that person today that says, hey, let me take you to the best garage ever. Let me get you that roadside service. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. And he will give you the best tires. And guess what? Here it is. It's all free. It cost him his life. Man, he's got a destination and a purpose for you. Let's stand and let's just pray, and then we'll lead into our last worship song today. God, you are good. In the midst of all that life brings to us, in the midst of our wastelands, it's hard at times to see how good you are. It's hard to see that you're making those rivers. But God, we know that you're doing something. There is no hurt on earth that heaven can heal. And so God, I thank you for the lives of every person in this room. That many of us have gotten here, and some of us don't even know how we got here today. But I can tell you it's because someone journeyed with them in life. And so, Lord, today, make yourself real. Make yourself known. Some people this last year, this last couple months, just their life have been filled from one hurt, one breakdown, one step up and five back, their whole entire lives. And they're saying, where is the goodness of God? And you're saying, don't you see it? And they say, nope. No, I'm making rivers in the wasteland. So God, today, there's some people here today that are going to say, put up or shut up, God. And I love when they do that because you always show up. So God, do your thing. Your thing is taking those areas that are dead and giving them life. So Lord, here we are. Some of us here may be dealing with loneliness that is so lonely that they just don't know what to do. But you brought them here today to let them know this. They are not alone, and you have a purpose for them. And you brought them into this place today to connect with others to get to the destination of the purpose that you have planned for them. So God, do your work, do your ministry, just shower us with your love. But most of all, God, I thank you that over this last year, for everybody, there seems something heavy. But God, you have been working and you have been moving. Continue to move here today, and we celebrate how good you are. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, your mercies never fail me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Oh, my life, you have been faithful. And all my life, you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire in darkest night, been close like no other. I know you as a father, I know you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running out. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now, I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. goodness of God. Oh, over my life you have been faithful. Will sing of the goodness of God. Oh, I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God.
Continue to lift us up today in prayers. We are praying for our dad to go be with Jesus. It's where his life is always pushed to. So join us in that prayer that God, you take him home. He has fought the good fight. And now he gets to, for the first time, walk and leap and praise God. That is the goodness of God. That is the goodness of God. Death is why Jesus came. Death is why he came, because he hated it. When Lazarus was dead, he said, he wept, he cried. He said, this wasn't how it was supposed to be. And that's why he came and paid the price, that we could be with him forever. He'd be with him forever. These songs are not just songs, it's faith. I mean, Jill and I had a weird childhood. We were taken everywhere. We were taken everywhere. And we were like the only kids, and we were like the, Michelle, you get this. It's like you're the singing show. Oh, isn't that cute? You know, I mean, no, we're less cute now, but anyway.
You are.
But I get him, true. All right. But I can tell you this. I can tell you this. What our parents put into us lives on because of the goodness of God. Yep. He's been faithful. In the fire and the storm, he's been faithful. And he's so good. How awesome the last song Dad was able to hear in our worship was Good, Good Father. And he was. And he is. And I'm forever thankful to my Father in heaven that he loved my dad long enough to let him do what God called him to do. Amen? Have a great week, and I have no clue what I'm doing next week. God bless.
Being